So I'm going to read the next three verses just by myself, and then we'll go on to the word by word synonyms. Naimisham Valgunam Jetu Prabhashota Kushastali Avaranasi Madhupuri Pampa Bindu Sarastata Narayana Shamonanda Sita Rama Shamadayaha Sarva Kulak Chala Rajan Mahendra Malaya Dayaha Eti Punyatavadesha Hare Arja Shutaschaye Etandeshan Nishi Petya Shreyas Kamo Yavikshanaha Anabhikshnashaha Dharmo Yatre Vita Pumsam Sahasrati Polo Dayaha. So you repeat. Saramse. Lakes. Pushkara Adini. Such as Pushkara. Chitrani. Sacred places like Kurukshetra, Gayakshetra, and Jagannath Puri. Arha, for worshipable saintly persons. Ashvatani, places of shelter. Uta, celebrated. Kurukshetram, a particular sacred place. Dharmakshetra. Gaya Shiraha, the place known as Gaya, where Gayasura took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Prayagaha, Allahabad, at the confluence of the two sacred rivers, Ganges and Jamuna. Ganges and Jamuna. Pulaha Ashramaha. The residence of Pulaha Muni. Naimisham. The place known as Naimisharanya. Near Lucknow. Falgunam, the place where the Falgu River flows. Setu Banda, where Lord Ramchandra constructed a bridge between India and Hong Kong. Prabhasaha, Prabhasakshetra. Ata, as well as Kushastali, Dwaravati or Dwaraka, Varanasi, Benares, Madhupuri, Mathura, Pampa, a place where there's a lake called Pampa. Bindusaraha, the place where Bindusarovara is situated. Tata, there. Narayana Ashramaha, known as Bharadikashrama. Ananda, the place where the Nanda River flows. Sita Rama, of Lord Ramchandra and Mother Sita. Ashrama Adyaha, places of shelter like Chitrakuta. Sarve, all, such places. Kula Chalaha, hilly tracts of land. Rajan, O king, Mahendra, known as Mahendra, Malaya Adayaha, and others like Malaya Chala. Ete, all of them, Punyatamaha, extremely sacred. Deshaha, places. Hareke, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Archa Ashvitaha, places where the deity of Radha Krishna is worshipped. Such as big American cities like New York, Los Angeles and San Francisco, and European cities like London and Paris, or wherever there are centers of Krishna consciousness. Cha, as well as yay, those which etandeshan, all these countries, visheveta, should worship or visit. Shreya Kamaha, one who desires auspiciousness. He, indeed. Avikshnashaha, again and again. Dharmaha, religious activities. He, from which? Atra, in these places. Ihitaha, performed. Pumsam, of the persons. Sahasra adi, more than 1,000 times. Pala udayaha, effective. So, translation, the sacred lakes like Pushkarap and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Goya, Prayag, Pulahashramaha, Manisharanya, the banks of the Phalgu River, Setu Banda, Prabhasa, Dwarka, Varanasi, Mathura, Pampa, Bindusarovara, Varuka Ashrama, Narayana Ashramaha, the places where the Nanda River flows, the places where Lord Ramchandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakuta, and also the hilly tracts of land known as Mahendra and Malaya, all of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India where there are centers of this Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha and Krishna deities are worshipped must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. It's important verse. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these verses, and in verse 29, stress is given to one point, Harer Archa Shuthas Chaye, or Harer Acha. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Charitam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Ancha, 4th chapter, text 126. Pitiviti ache yata nagaradi gram sarvacha prachara hoive mora nam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Mogasha moga karmano, moga jnana vichesh saha. That's in the Gita, 9th chapter, text 12. No one can become successful in fruitive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. As recommended in the Shastras, everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna consciousness movement and understanding the value of spiritual life. So, Om Meghanath Timananda Shah, Jinan Jinan Shlakayat Chakshur Miritam Yena Tismai Shigarve Namaha. So, what is being described here is the path known as Pancharatriki Vidhi. That means the path of Pancharatra. Pancharatriki Vidhi has been elaborated on by Sri Narada Muni, who composed the Narada Pancharatra. And this is very interesting. It's a type of tantra. Of course, the word tantra is oftentimes misunderstood. If I say that someone is a tantric, it generally indicates black magic, like you have here in Fiji. There's a lot of these black magic, witches, ghosts, goblins, and everything like that in Fiji. But the word tantra basically means an activity that connects you. So there's left-handed tantra and right-handed tantra. So we're interested in the right-handed tantra. The left-handed tantrics, they do things like eating food out of a skull and doing all sorts of abominable things. For example, I had one friend who was touring India on a motorcycle, and he met this left-handed tantric guru. And what happened is that the guru said, you know, will you be my disciple, whatever. And he said, yes, Gurudev. And Gurudev said, we're doing a ceremony tomorrow. Can you collect the ingredients? So he went out to collect the ingredients for his Gurudev. But fortunately, he ran into someone at the railway station who told him that the last person this guru had as a disciple was sacrificed, and the ingredients were meant for the sacrifice of the disciple. Pretty nice, isn't it? So anyway, he ran away. He got on his little motorcycle and ran away. This is before he joined the Hare Krishna movement. So that's left-handed tantrics, which we're not interested in. But a word tantra means to connect. So the pancharatrika system connects you with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the archana process. Archana process, of course, means the worship of the deities, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, we also follow the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is very, very important. Bhagavad Vidhi. We don't follow the Vaidic Vidhi. The Vaidic Vidhi means like the sacrifices and the performing the different ceremonies mentioned in the original four Vedas, because in order to follow that process, you have to be like a ritualistic brahmana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. He, in the Jiva Dharma, there's this whole discussion about whether Vaishnavas who were not born in Brahmin families have the right or should perform these Vedic ceremonies. You know, Vedic ceremonies. Anyway, there's all these ritualistic ceremonies. And he says, no, they don't have a right to perform those Vedic ceremonies because it would cause a disturbance in society. Actually, they're Brahmins, really. As stated, Ahobata Swapa Chato Garyan Yaji Wagre Vartate Namatubhyam. That if one is chanting the Lord's holy names, it's understood, Brahmanuchar Nama Grananti Yate, that he's come to the platform of being Brahman automatically. However, to respect society's norms, we don't engage in these activities, in the ritualistic Vedic activities. So we don't follow generally the Vedic Vidhi. We follow the Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi. As Prabhupada mentions, the Pancharatriki and the Bhagavad Vidhi are two tracks. Like you have a train and it runs on two tracks. Both are necessary. Bhagavad Vidhi, of course, means the preaching of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha, the chanting the Lord's holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, And Pancharatrikivedi is the rules and regulations, not only the what takes place on the altar, but actually what takes place during the morning program. This is also Pancharatrikivedi, waking up early, observing rules of cleanliness. And what this does is, first of all, the first primary result of that is to put you in the mode of goodness. Because by nature, in this material world, especially in the Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavat, that practically we're all in the mode of ignorance. And so we have to have this regulation. See, the deities, Krishna is there, I understand. But the deities also regulate you. How do they regulate you? Because they have a regulated schedule. If you have home deities, those deities don't regulate you so much. Because you can worship them. Just like my deities, I have Shilas. You know, I can do the puja at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, or midday, or whatever. You know, and Krishna's not going to kill me for doing that. It's not an offense. You know, I'll just do it every day, obviously. Whereas in the temple, you have specific times. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he regulated the deity worship in Jagannath Puri to extreme punctuality. I mean, he was the one who introduced Vaishnavas wearing watches. Of course, I mentioned this before, every Vaishnava should have a watch. I'm not going to look around the room and see who has a watch and who doesn't have a watch. Because if you don't have a watch, you're in Maya. So anyway, so... Because, and Prabhupada had a watch. I mean, they should have a watch on the deity. Did they have a watch on the deity here? No. But actually, Prabhupada always wore a watch. Bhaktivinoda Thakur always wore a watch. A pocket watch, sorry, because they didn't have wrist watches at that time. Because that was, he would be in charge of the deity worship in Jagannath Puri, and he regulated it. And he also made sure that nobody stole from the hundi. There's that interesting story that there was the king of Jagannath Puri. He was stealing from the hundi and buying things for himself. And what happened is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being in charge, being a magistrate in charge of the British government for there, at least that, the judicial department, he gave the king a sentence that he'd have to feed Lord Jagannath something like 50 or 60 times a day. So the poor king, his treasury became very quickly exhausted. And he got so upset with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he began to perform a Vedic sacrifice to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And for a whole month, there were like 30 Brahmins chanting mantras to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And after that month, the king's own son died. You can't really curse a Vaishnava like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur regulated it to extreme punctuality. And Prabhupada said that deity worship, the first thing is punctuality and cleanliness in the deity worship. So that keeps one regulated. Like if we didn't have Mangalarti in the morning, the devotees would generally get up at 8 o'clock. Still some devotees get up at 8 o'clock. Even devotees who live here, they wake up at 8. But at least those who want to become Krishna conscious, they go to Mangalarti and they go to class. Everything is on a very strict schedule. So that's the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one is very regulated. In the mode of passion, one is regulated for making money. You know, and in the mode of ignorance, one is completely unregulated, procrastinating, putting things off. So therefore, that's one benefit of deity worship. Another benefit of deity worship, of course, is you come in direct touch with Krishna, and so you're reminded continually that God is a person. As we mentioned the other day, if you don't do this Pancharatrikivedi, you'll forget that God is a person. You'll just like become very ritualistic in your activities. And basically your consciousness will become polluted, because ritualism, or Nimagraha, according to Rupa Goswami, is a cause of fall down from devotional service. So you're reminded continually, there's God, and you're decorating God. It's a very personal thing. It actually puts you on the Goloka or Vaikuntha platform, because you're addressing God, and it appears that God, Krishna, is dependent on you. Oh, the deities have to eat this. What if the deities don't eat that? And sometimes, oh, it's too cold for the deities, or too hot for the deities, you put on the air conditioner or whatever. And so everything is becomes very, very personal at that point, dealing with the deities. Of course, when you're very advanced, then you become more spontaneous, but we don't want to do that here in the temple, just like that. Raghunandana, the son of Mukunda, the great associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was given the deity worship to do by his father, because his father had to go out on a medical mission, he was a doctor, Raghunandana just stood in front of the deities and said, "Eat." That was his mantra. He said, "Eat, eat." And Krishna got off the altar and ate. So that's for some of the very advanced devotees. We don't want that going on here with Radha Goloka Bihari. We don't want the pujaris saying, "Eat, eat, Krishna." Yeah, because Krishna won't get off the altar. He'll probably punish you some way or the other. So anyway, so that's the Raghunandana, even beyond Raghunandana. That's the Prema Bhakti platform where one could do that. So Prabhupada here, very interestingly, adds a little bit on this particular verse, because obviously the verse doesn't really mention the places of the Krishna consciousness movement, like London and New York and Europe. Doesn't mention Fiji, of course. Obviously doesn't mention that, but that's in tune with the understanding of the purport here, with the understanding of the verse. India itself is called Punya Bhumi. Punya means pious. Why? Because everywhere you go in India, some pastime, incarnation, ecstatic manifestation of the Lord appeared. Practically every single inch, something happened. I mean, when you go to Delhi, you know, that's Hastinapur. And of course, Indraprastha. Of course, Hastinapur was the original kingdom, then Indraprastha, after the Pandavas were given like a kingdom and they developed it. And so even you go to a city, and you'll see or experience that there's some connection with Krishna's pastimes. Or Kurukshetra that's mentioned here. Of course, the battle of Kurukshetra occurred there. But also, Kurukshetra was a holy place before the battle of Kurukshetra took place. In fact, that's why it's called Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta, Yudhsamaha. Where that's practically the first thing mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. It's a dharma. It's a place of dharma. And anyone who dies there basically gets liberated. And many, many sacrifices were performed there before. And there's so many descriptions about Kurukshetra. So here you find all these amazing places. So the devotees Thank you. So the devotees go on tours to all these holy places. And we've guided some tours to these holy places. Not all the holy places. I haven't been everywhere. However, the devotees who are on the traveling kirtan party, they actually go to all these holy places. And so we've gone from North India to South India and stopped at many of these places. And in many of these places, you have footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu installed. In fact, the South India tour, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to commemorate that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit these places. And you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya's visiting the places. Also, we find Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Balaram is visiting all the holy places. This, of course, was to so-called purify himself. Of course, Balaram's always pure. But he, after he committed murder, Romaharshana Sutta I mean, interesting story. Rama Harshan and Suta didn't properly respect Balaram. The story's in the Krishna book, of course. He didn't stand up, and Balaram killed him from Kusha grass. And of course, after that, Suta Goswami was installed. But the sages said, you got to atone. Of course, the first thing they wanted him to atone for the system was to kill this demon Balvala, who was harassing them. Then after that, they sent him on pilgrimage. And of course, also another reason Balaram went on pilgrimage is because he didn't want to take sides in the battle of Kurukshetra. So there's a whole description there where Balaram visited. And Lord Nityananda, he also went, who's non-different from Balaram, he went to so many holy places, description there. And so you have these various, another music, many incarnations of the Lord who actually go on pilgrimage to these various places. And of course, Balaram didn't need to get purified. He was already, he's obviously the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to set an example for us, so we should visit these places. Now, it's interesting also that the source of all these places, just like you have in the spiritual world, you have Goloka Vrindavan, and which is actually the topmost planet in the spiritual world. So in Vrindavan, in Braj, you actually have the source of all these holy places. That's one thing I realized. Because you can go to Braj, and there's a place called Setu Bandha in Braj. Braj means the area around Vrindavan, Mathura area. There's Bhadarika Ashram there in Braj. There's places for Lord Shiva. I mean, everything, Bindu Sarovara, everything's there within Braj. So basically what I've done in the last few years is I just stay within Braj and visit these holy places within Braj, because Braj is the original and all the holy places expand from Vrindavan. And then we become very inspired, seeing the deities that are installed there. Of course, the most important thing mentioned by Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam is when you go to a holy place is to hear from the saintly persons there, or to engage in Krishna Katha. You know, if you happen to be the saintly person, then you hear from Prabhupada. You read Prabhupada's books and engage in Krishna Katha. Because if you simply go to see the deities without engaging in Krishna Katha, then it's described almost like, you know, like Tirtha Buddhi, Shalai, Nakarichit, Ganeshu, Abhigeshu, Saiva Gokura. It's like a cow and an ass, you know, just you're not actually understanding the deities. Because without hearing, it's like taking a, you know, cow and ass bathes in the river. So by hearing, you actually understand who Krishna is. Without hearing, you become, or you remain, Kanishta Adhikari. So it's very important to regularly hear when you go to the holy places. And that's what we emphasize. For example, when I take people around Govardhan, we don't just like do a trek around Govardhan. You know, just like run around. What we do is that we take 3 days to do the Govardhan Radhakund Parikrama. And that way we stop at the different places, we tell Krishna's pastimes, we explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And this is much more benefit than simply running around. So long. One day we do one half of the hill, the next day we do the other half of the hill. You know, there's the tail half and the head half, because Govardhan is shaped like a peacock, and the two eyes of the peacock are Radhakund and Shyamakund. And then the third day we do the whole Radhakund Parikrama, which takes another 4 hours. Because then we go to all the temples of the Goswami. Because in Radhakund, you'll find replica temples of all the Vrindavan temples that were established by the Goswamis. Now why do you find them? Because when the Muslims were attacking Vrindavan, the deities were taken out. Originally they went to Radhakund. And so then the Muslims came to Radhakund, and the deities were taken out, and they went to places like Jaipur, Udaipur, like this, or Nathwar. They went to different places like that. So when the deities were taken out of Radhakund, then they also installed Pratibhu deities. Pratibhu means deities that are non-different than the original deities. Also in Vrindavan, most of the deities are Pratibhut deities. They're not the original deities because the deities were moved out, except for perhaps like Radharaman. Radharaman is the original that you see. But most of the other deities, like Radhagovinda, Radhashyam Sundar, they were all moved to different locales for their own safety. So anyway, so then we take a whole day, you know, 4 hours, which is enough time, and then we tell all these stories about the Goswamis and who Sanatana Goswami is. And there's much more benefit when you visit a holy place in that way than just like seeing the deeds. Because what will you see anyway with their eyes? What can you see? I mean, of course, you see Krishna, the beautiful form of Krishna. So if you really want to progress to be more than a Kanishtha Adhikari, it's important to regularly hear about Krishna, and that's the Bhagavat Vidhi that I mentioned. So they both have to go together. You know, one without the other. Let's say if you just have Pancharatriki Vidhi without Bhagavat Vidhi, then you become just very either ritualistic or sahaja or sentimental or not, you know, not fixed in Krishna consciousness. And if you have Bhagavat Vidhi without Pancharatriki Vidhi, you'll become unregulated. Now, I'll just give you one, I'll end with a story about this. When, many years ago, when I was traveling with one of the first sannyasis in Krishna consciousness, it was 1972 or something, 72, 73, I forget. The sannyasi told me that now that he was a sannyasi, he just took sannyas. And because I was a brahmachari traveling with him, we didn't really have to get up early anymore. Well, we'd get up at any time in the morning, and we really didn't have to really take care in offering our food to Krishna. We could just go to the supermarket and buy a whole bag of groceries and just go Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. And then it didn't matter. We could get, you know, salad dressing. It didn't matter because we were preaching, you know, Bhagavad Vidhi. So there was this whole, and I thought, wow, this is great, you know, because one of the most difficult things I had in the beginning of Krishna consciousness was waking up early. I said, this is nectar, wow. Now I really understood Krishna consciousness. So anyway, so then, very interesting, after a few days, our consciousness was dropping a little bit. We started fighting with each other. And we were unregulated, you know, chanting our rounds at unregulated times. I always finished my rounds. I mean, sometimes I was chanting my rounds like from 8 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock at night, which is not the best time to chant your rounds, because you're not very attentive at that time. So then we both came to the realization, hey, we need to follow Pancharatriki Vidhi. So immediately, we got, not a regular deity, we got a picture of Panchatattva, like about this big, carried around in the van, got some what's called candelabras. You know what candelabras are? That means the things that hold candles, you know, beautiful silver candle holders. You've seen it? It's called candelabra, is a technical name, with long candles. And then every morning, wherever we were, we set up an altar with full arti at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Even, let's say, if we were just traveling between temples, and we weren't in temples most of the time, we would go into these places. I don't know if you have them here, but they're all-night laundromats. You know what a laundromat is? The place where you have laundry machines, you put in coins. You have them here in Fiji? You put in coins, and so they were open all night at that time. Nowadays they don't open all night because there's so much more violence in America. And so we would put a big cloth on top of the washing machine, set up the altar, put the candles there, have an arti tray, and pull out the mridanga, the cartels, and in the middle of this laundromat, which was not a holy place at that time, we would have this kirtan be dancing back and forth, chanting the Gurvashtika prayers. And sometimes some little old lady came in to do her laundry early in the morning. Probably had a heart attack, you know. Seeing these people dressed in saffron, you know, going, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you know. Anyway, so. And then also as far as the prasadam, we started to cook. Even though we were in a van, you know, traveling in one of these vans, we were rolling rotis on the wheel well. You know what a wheel well is? In the back of a van, there's like a, in the old days at least, there was a metal plate because the wheel goes in a little bit, and that was a flat surface to roll rotis on. And so we were rolling rotis there and cooking on a gas stove as the other person was driving, which is pretty dangerous. Anyway, and then, you know, I would always hold on to the pots as we were turning the corners. So. But still, then our consciousness went up. We became happier in Krishna consciousness. We didn't fight so much at that point. So it's really important to have this Pancharachaki Vidhi. Even Prabhupada, he traveled with deities. And sometimes Shrutakirti, they'd arrive in one place and Shrutakirti wouldn't take the deities out. And Prabhupada chastised me, said, "You were unpacked, so why aren't you taking Krishna out?" So Prabhupada always had these little Radha Krishna deities that he traveled with. I'm not saying that all sannyasis should travel like that. Prabhupada also another time said that sannyasis can worship the book as a deity. You know, the Bhagavatam is a deity. So in any case, this Pancharajaki Vidhi is absolutely necessary for us to keep us from being animals. You know, keeps us on the human platform. Nobody should be thinking they're transcendental to Pancharajaki Vidhi and just doing Bhagavad Vidhi. Both are required in Krishna consciousness. So anyway, we have 3 more minutes to class. Any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Yeah. Yes.
Is it the genuine one?
Yeah, there are two types of samadhis. There's the places, actually, with the 3 types, actually. Because many of the Goswamis, traditionally, the Goswamis were not supposed to be, cremated. You know, you bury the body. But when the Muslims came, what they did is they cremated the bodies of the Goswamis, most of the Goswamis, because the Muslims would dig them out and desecrate the bodies. You know what I'm saying? Desecrate? They take the bodies out of the ground, just tear them apart. You know, very horrible what they would do. Anyway, so therefore, they cremated, I think just about every Goswami was cremated. And that's one type of samadhi where you have the ashes there. Another type is where you have the body. And the third type is called the Pushpa Samadhi. Pushpa, that's why you'll see several samadhis for Raghunath Das Goswami and many of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. Because they would take Pushpa, which means flowers, from the original samadhi and make another samadhi. Even Prabhupada, there's 2 samadhis for Prabhupada. One is, of course, in Vrindavan, where his body of Srila Prabhupada, transcendental body, is interred. And the other one is in Sridhar Mayapur. So they're both actual samadhis of Prabhupada. That's why you'll see, you know, you ask, are they actually samadhis? Especially sometimes in some temples, you'll see the samadhis so close to each other, like practically even stacked on top of each other, because those are the ashes or Pushpa samadhis.
And,
yes, same focus. Either Pushpa Samadhi or actual Samadhi is the same focus. Anyway, the main point is to remember these great personalities and remember and follow their instructions. That's the main thing. I mean, if you actually... And there's another type of Samadhi that I just forgot about, where they inter the Shastras. They put the Shastras, you know, the original writings of the Goswamis, in the Madan Mohan temple. There's this samadhi for the Shastras. You seen that? You understand? It's like a cone there where they have some of the Shastras and the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan there. So there's, you know, that's also a type of samadhi. Samadhi, the word samadhi actually means absorption. You can say someone is in samadhi when they're just absorbed in Krishna and not conscious of the external world. That's generally the way this the word samadhi is used. You know, it's part of the Ashtanga yoga process: yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So that answer the question. So, any other questions or comments? Questions, comments, problems, issues, complaints? No. Everybody's happy? I hope so. Anyway, so today's another day for serving Krishna. We're going to see the deities and get great spiritual inspiration, but also chant your rounds. Don't just see the deities. And hear from Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya. You must hear from Bhagavatam. Okay, all glories to Sri Mangala Srila Prabhupada.